When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stink of Truth podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woody Johnson has been in the crosshairs this entire season, and especially after the firings of Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh and some of these guys that have left the organization. Rex Hogan prior to that, who was assistant GM, one of Joe Douglas's best friends. So there's a lot of people out there that now have an axe to grind and probably speaking freely about stuff that happened. You know, there's a ton of guys who get fired in the NFL. Not everyone wants to go and disparage their former employer unless there's something that's going on that they feel like they need to explain or need to get out there. So, you know, I do believe that the things that I'm reading in here are true. I think the reporting has been good from Diana Russini and Zach Rosenblatt, and this just paints the Jets in even worse light than they've ever been in as I'm going through this article. And this is why I've been saying for months that anybody worth a hill of you-know-what who's a head coach candidate or general manager candidate is going to think twice about taking this job. And if there's any way that Mike Vrabel actually wants to take the job, and I'm Woody and you want him, you pay him more than anybody else. So, some of the highlights here. As I mentioned in the headline, Woody Johnson, in this article, they are claiming, nixed a trade for wide receiver Jerry Jeudy in the offseason based on his Madden rating. And this wasn't the only time he had done that. He had done that in the past and also did it with an offensive lineman who the Jets ended up bringing in anyway. But Woody Johnson said, I don't want to bring him in. His awareness on Madden is too low. Now, they're saying in the article that his sons, Brick and Jack, are the ones that are influencing this, that they are the teenage sons. They're younger. They play Madden. They read everything, and they bring it to Woody, and then Woody reacts to that, even so much so that it's quoted in here. Now, Joe Douglas did not say this publicly, but it's quoted saying Joe Douglas once said in the building, someone witnessed him saying, I answer to a teenager, meaning one of Woody Johnson's sons. There was also a moment, they say, where Brick and Jack are way too involved, where Aaron Rodgers, after the Jets beat the Texans on that Thursday night game, had a game ball for Jeff Ulbrich because Jeff Ulbrich had won his first NFL game. And Brick walked into the locker room and announced that he was giving the game ball to Garrett Wilson. And it was the most awkward moment because Aaron Rodgers was standing there with a game ball about to present it to Jeff Ulbrich. Brick comes in, gives the game ball to Garrett Wilson, and the source in the article said that the entire air was sucked right out of the room. It was the most awkward thing ever, is what they said. So it basically paints a picture of a guy who is impulsive, who doesn't know what he's doing, who listens to everybody around him, like his sons, social media, things like that, and has created an environment there that it's almost impossible to succeed in. So, you know, when we say, why does it happen to the Jets? Why did this happen? Only the Jets type of thing, at least in the reporting that has gone on the last couple of years, especially this year, it goes to one thing, and that's Woody Johnson's inability to manage this franchise in any sort of competent way.
Yeah, well, this is not a great article for the incoming regime, whoever it is, that's for sure. But, you know, there are guys out there like Dimitroff and I'm sure John Robinson that will be more than happy to take the job because it is a job. It is one of 32 jobs, and it is a big job. So they'll deal with all the outside noise, and, you know, I'm sure they'll all be warned about all of this kind of stuff. I hate really kind of talking about teenagers. I mean, like, you know, these kids, obviously the people over there know who they are and everything else. I don't want to get involved in that. It really has got to be controlled by their dad who owns the team. And if it is accurate, and I don't understand, I don't see why it wouldn't be accurate. That makes it a really difficult situation for a lot of people on that staff.
Yeah,
and it just makes it impossible. And I don't know if Woody's not going to see this. Nothing's going to change. You know, he's been around for a long time.
What do you mean he's not going to see this? So a guy who has been rumored to pay attention to everything that's going on in the media is not going to get this article, won't get to him?
No, I mean, like, he won't see it the way that it's written. Like, okay. He won't see it that way. You know, I mean, that's his kids. That's his blood, you know, and it's his team. And, you know, he's a very impetuous and impatient owner, it sounds like. You know, I never, and when I've gone over there, and you and I have gone over there, I've never felt that part of it. I've never felt this part of it.
Okay?
You know what I mean? I even dealing with the front office people over there and talking to all of them, nobody's ever complained to us, or at least to me anyway.
Would they? You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone is, like, when they're an active member of the staff, for them to off the air say something to you or me about how their boss is driving them crazy.
Well, I mean, Rob Sala did it with Joe Beningo.
Well, that was, no, but not with Woody Johnson, he didn't.
Well, I mean.
And by the way, did he? He was more, so he goes, Beningo goes, I can tell you he doesn't like the quarterback. And then Joe came out and said, no, he didn't say that. He was inferring that.
Yeah.
And then all Rob Sala said that he had sent Joe Beningo was basically a defense of his record and how he doesn't have a quarterback. And you look at all these other coaches who didn't have a quarterback and they also suck.
Right. So I would sit there. If somebody said, okay, Boomer, what would you say to Woody Johnson? I'd say, Woody, look, for 14 years, it hasn't gone right. And there's been one constant, and that constant has been you as the owner. I mean, you have to sit back and you have to look at yourself and you have to decide whether or not you want to hire people and let them do what they want to do. And of course, they're going to involve you in decision making. But if they feel strongly about making a certain type of decision, then you got to let them do it. You got to let them do their job. That's what you're paying them for. You know, they're the ones that have to deal with the aggravation. They're the ones that have to deal with the trades and have to deal with the draft and have to deal with injured players and have to deal with all the machinations that go into running a football team. And then to have an owner come in and say, hey, you know, we don't want this guy because his Madden rating and his IQ rating or whatever the hell it is, awareness rating is low, is ridiculous.
You ready for this one? This one I think is going to really get to you because it involves a quarterback. In 2022, quarterback Mike White played through broken ribs in a late-season game against the Seattle Seahawks with postseason hopes on the line. We remember that game.
Of course, yes.
White played poorly. The Jets lost and were eliminated from playoff contention. After the game, with the quarterback in the showers, after throwing his helmet to the locker room floor, multiple Jets players said they heard Woody Johnson say, "You should throw your helmet. You effing suck." The statement got back to White. The team spokesperson said Johnson apologized to the quarterback. You should throw your helmet. You effing suck. To a backup quarterback who was playing through broken ribs. And so much so that a team spokesperson said in this story that Woody Johnson ended up having to apologize. That sounds like a true story to me. That sounds like a terrible thing.
It's not the right thing, no. It's awful.
You're holding back here.
It's awful.
You're holding back.
It's awful. I mean, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, man, to say the least, right now.
Yeah, I mean, and really what this comes down to, like, what does it mean? All right, it gives you an explanation as to why things have been brutal for the organization.
All right, so let me ask you this question now. So Mike Tannenbaum's doing this search.
Mm-hmm.
He lived this life.
Mm-hmm.
He was in there. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you think he's telling the prospective general managers this or no?
You want to know why?
Why?
He's getting paid by them again. He's hired. And he...
The word has to be out on the street, in the NFL, with the coaches.
It is, and he'll defend Woody even if he doesn't believe what he's saying is true for a couple of reasons. He was hired by the Jets, so he's not going to sit there and slam Woody. And two, his reputation's on the line because everybody knows that Tannenbaum and Spielman are looking for the next GM. So if they come up and suggest a guy that flops... Then all of a sudden, Mike Tannenbaum's name goes deeper into the mud in Jets history.
Their biggest mistake they made is they should have gotten Davante Adams in the offseason. And then we would have seen more of what we just saw in Jacksonville between these two great players.
Their defense has been terrible.
I know that. We're just talking about from the offensive standpoint. They're talking about going for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
And that's
Judy's
fine
been
too.
Great, know, by the yeah, way, no, in an offense that blows.
That stinks. I know. So I realize that. But I'm just saying that... You know, you see these plays that Aaron and Davante are making now. It's been a while for them to get back into this rhythm type of thing. And this past weekend, man, that was vintage stuff.
Mm.
That was incredible stuff. That's why that trade should have been made before the season even started.
In the post-game locker room after last year's Week 17 loss to Cleveland, multiple players said they heard Johnson's sons loudly disparaging certain Jets players. I mean, when you hear like multiple Jets players, I mean, that's when you're hearing things where this is not coming from, you know, Rex Hogan or some of these other guys who had left. Like, it could be players who had left, obviously, because they're on the last year's team, not this year's team.
Yep.
But, whew.
Yeah, it's a mess. Definitely a mess, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if there's another thing in here that I want to read you right now, but yeah.
I personally hope that some of this isn't accurate, but man, it doesn't surprise me.
No. I mean, and by the way, a lot of these things have absolutely checked out. And I know that Jets fans have said, oh, you know, these athletic reporters are after the Jets. I don't think that they're after the Jets. I think that the story comes to them. I think that the Jets have been so dysfunctional. They've been in the news because of Aaron Rodgers and everything else. It is New York. And I think that it's coming to them.
Yeah.
They're not seeking it out.
You know, what's amazing to me is like of all the times that I had conversations with Joe Douglas, I used to start out like, you know, so what's it really like working for Woody? Because man, he's passionate. He used to say that he's passionate, you know, and he lets them spend the money, whether or not they're spending the money and getting the players that the GM and the coach want, as opposed to what the owner and his sons want. That's a whole nother story.
And by the way, Joe Douglas is a class act. And
100%.
I know that you and me to a lesser degree, but we developed a relationship with him over the years that he was here, and we liked him. We had Boomer and Geo Live. Joe Douglas is not going to say, even though that you and him developed this professional relationship, he's not going to say to you off the air, I hate Woody Johnson, while he's working for Woody Johnson. He never did. Even if he felt that way. So he might have felt that way, he might not have. But if he did, he's not going to say that because that's just, he's a pro. Joe Douglas is a pro.
Like, for the years that I know him and the amount that I talked to him, he never once ever indicated any of this.
What about
that's kind of stuff that, but that's kind of, no, he hasn't. But that's kind of stuff that you know, you would want to keep in-house anyway.
Yeah.
Like if you were him, you know, because he's dealing with it, but he never once ever intimated any of it.
Yeah, I think that says more about Joe Douglas, the man, than it does that this stuff isn't true with Woody Johnson.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on The Fan right now. We are joined by Deanna Rossini of The Athletic, who along with Zach Rosenblatt and I forget his name, Silver. Deanna, you could help us out here. You guys co-wrote the article for The Athletic. It's so many of you guys on this, I can't even keep track of all the names. But
I'm glad Mike Silver is like a sports journalism icon.
I know Mike Silver.
Sports Illustrated covers, but no, I totally get it.
Like, I know Mike Silver.
We have a lot of people. Well, you have a lot of people in the story because this is a story that takes a lot of reporting. You don't engage in a story about an owner in the NFL unless you have all the big muscles and all the big dogs involved. And we got Mike Silver involved for this exact reason, because we started working on this about 6 months ago. And once we started to gather all the intel, we realized, okay, if we're going to do this, we need to make sure we get everything accurate and we make sure all of the reporting is top notch. And hopefully that's something that you guys discovered while reading the article on The Athletic. How are you? Hello.
Yeah, well, I'm miserable. I can't stand it anymore, Deanna. It's just pitiful. It seems hopeless. We're helpless. You know, so, and I'm assuming this is true and I trust your reporting. I think you're very good at your job, right? You have to hope from a Jets perspective, a fan's perspective, that Woody Johnson is so embarrassed by this that it forces him to change, or at least look deep within and consider changing. Do you think that he will? You know him.
I do. I think Woody Johnson certainly has read the story. Obviously, people in the New York Jets building has read the story, and they're aware that what we uncovered is probably just a small piece of a very big pie that you know, we've heard the rumors and the gossip in the New York area about some of this, which is why we thought it was important to sort of nail it down. Like, okay, it's easy as fans to say, well, our owners think, well, why? Well, here's why, right? You're trading a player like Jerry Jeudy. You're allowing your football people like Joe Douglas, the GM, to negotiate with the Denver Broncos and then abruptly call it off. For a bunch of reasons. And one of the reasons had to do with the fact that his Madden rating was too low. Madden as in the video game, which, you know, so many people play, but I don't know of any other owner that is using those type of references to make decisions in the football space.
Mm-hmm.
And that story was floating around the league for a while.
That almost seems unbelievable. I believe you. That seems unbelievable.
And it's not the only time he's done it. Hmm. Correct. It definitely surprised me at first, and I'd say reporting that you got to make sure you have at least 5-6 people making sure everyone is buttoned up on it, because I didn't believe it either. And it's true. And then I found out that he also did it with John Simpson, who turned out to be great. Right. Well, I think we could all say he was probably one of the best players on the Jets team this year, but he's used the Madden rating as reference. I don't think Woody Johnson is playing Madden. I think we can all agree, unless he does. I mean, if he does, that's awesome.
They'd probably be bad at it.
His sons play, though.
They're probably bad at it, too.
And that's another theme in the story of, you know, it's fine that owners have their children around. I cover all the teams in the league, and I see family constantly. But allowing a seat at the table in decision-making, allowing influence, from the information we gather of people that work in the New York Jets organization at this moment and have worked there in previous years, it's been made very clear that while Brick Johnson, the 18-year-old, isn't standing on the table going, we must get this player, he's talking to his dad and giving his suggestions of what he's seeing on Twitter, what he's reading, how he thinks this should be. And Woody, being a father, is listening to his son. But unfortunately, that's not how you want an operation to run. You do not want to be taking advice from guys that can't even legally drink.
Good God. I mean, that's just an embarrassment.
A football organization.
Hearing you say it, I mean, it's one thing to read it, Diana, which is bad enough, but hearing you say it and envisioning it, it's just embarrassing. BT and Sal on the Fan, we're talking about Diana Rossini, who wrote the article for The Athletic, the latest scathing piece on Woody Johnson. You know, that was going to be my next question anyway, as far as the kids getting involved. Is this somewhat normal? You'd think rich owners have rich children, spoiled brats hanging around these teams. Is this somewhat normal, even if it may go a little further than what happens in other NFL teams? But getting the kids involved, where does the Jets rank in comparison to the other teams around the league?
Kansas City is a great example. Their owner has daughters. They have one daughter who I'm sure you've seen her on social media, who really wants to be part of the football operation at one point. She's in her early 20s. And she attends meetings. She's around the team. She goes to the owners' meetings. But I've never been told a story where she's telling her father what the football people should be doing. She's not telling Andy Reid, here's how this is going to go, or telling Brett Veach, here's what I think. If she's asked, I'm sure they're open to it. So, look, I think the idea of a father wanting his sons to be part of something that he cares about and something that he owns is fine. That's normal. Allowing those children to tell people that you have hired to do it is a problem. They don't have that experience. It's one thing for me to... my dad was a plumber, to go to work with him, to watch him work. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling my dad to use a certain pipe.
Yeah. What about a wrench?
You know, and if he, and if he did listen to me, he'd be out of business.
Yeah.
So this is a problem. And guys, look, the overall issue here is people close to Woody will tell you that Woody just wants to win. He holds people accountable. He has a high standard. And I think at some point here, they have to go, this is who you are, but this is not working. This is obviously not working doing it this way.
Yep.
And, you know, even the treatment of players. Did you guys come across the antidote about Mike White, right? You guys remember Mike White was a hero around here.
Yeah, we brought
the
it up.
Playing with these broken ribs, he goes into the shower, and Woody's telling people in the locker room that he sucks. His words, not mine. So I just think all of this collectively together. And you saw, we got the Jets on this. They gave us on the record comments acknowledging this. They are aware, and I give them credit for that. They could have easily just ignored us. They could have easily just put out a statement saying The Athletic is a bunch of liars, mm-hmm. or whatever they want to do. But they know that there are problems and they want to fix them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to do right now, with trying to nail down this GM head coaching search.
Diana, is there, well, and obviously we'll get to that, is there anybody in the building that's not named Johnson that can look Woody in the eyes and speak from the heart and with a little bit of authority, even though Woody's the owner, and Woody actually respects and sometimes listens to that person?
Well, I think that them bringing in Mike Tannenbaum was purposed. I think Mike has so much experience with Woody, the good and the bad, mm-hmm. that I do think Woody trusts him. I think the team president there also has tons of respect around the building. I came across that in just my reporting about how he is just really one of the best parts of the Jets organization. And that's even just around the league. That's people in the league office even telling me about him, that the Jets team president has what it takes. I just think you have a lot of the same people around Woody for a long time, that it would not hurt them. And this is just my opinion, to bring in a buffer, to bring in someone that could perhaps maybe help manage Woody. But the three of us know Woody probably wants someone he trusts. And mm-hmm. I think that's where they're going to run into an issue. I recently wrote my column that Donna Ponte was an idea that I thought of somebody who has tons of experience working in different organizations, working with the league office, who can handle someone like Woody and that personality, and also understand what needs, how to keep the football side on task as an in-between. But from what I gather, that's not something that they're discussing at this moment, as they're trying to flush out how they want the structure to be. But I don't think this is all that bad if you're a Jets fan and you're going, look, there's going to be the fan group that's like, oh, you guys are just tabloid chasers or quick chasers or all the other crazy names I get called. I think the good part of this is maybe this is something that will resonate. Maybe this is something at 78 years old, Woody goes, okay, maybe I can't do it this way anymore. That's got to be the hope for Jets fans.
And first thing, it seems like he's got to get his kids in order here. Disappointing kids, a teenager is going to be hard to do. BT and Sal, we're talking with Diana Rossini, who had the latest article from The Athletic. Do you think this can be a desirable spot for somebody who's established like Mike Vrabel or Thomas Dimitroff or any of the other guys that the Jets might be looking at?
I think word is already out. You know, I think sometimes the stuff that the fans and the public know, a lot of this is new, but people around the league have known this about ownership because they have gone through, they've had some turnover, and people share and people tell these stories to each other because it is such a small group of coaches and agents. It may seem big, but it just really isn't. Do I think that somebody like, let's just say a top candidate that we know that any team that has an opening is going to go after, like a Mike Vrabel, would now go, there's no way? No. I think Mike Vrabel will definitely meet with the New York Jets at some point, knowing that they do have some really good pieces in terms of this roster. It's just going to come down to, is Woody going to be open enough and maybe even perhaps vulnerable enough to share some of the mistakes he's made and try to say, what do you think? How can I help you? How can I put my trust in that you're going to get this right? And to Woody's defense, I think at times in the past, he's probably tried to do that with Robert Sala. Mm-hmm. He tried to do it with Rex Ryan and it blew up in his face. So I think he's got to find a way to trust the next person that comes in, and the next person that comes in has to be able to clearly lay out their philosophy, what they want, where they want this thing to go, and what they need from the owner. And if the owner doesn't think he can do it, and if the people around Woody don't really believe that Woody can hold back, then they have to have a real serious conversation. Because having a first-time head coach come into New York, to me, I think that's the worst-case situation for them. It may be that may be how it winds up, because they'll lose out on some of the veteran guys, but it is hard enough to be a coach. Mm. Now throw in the layer of a difficult owner, throw in New York and everything else that comes along with it.
Yeah, and a 41-year-old quarterback with a contract that's not great. Yeah, I want to ask you something about Rodgers. Obviously, the record is what it is, and the Jets have not taken the step forward that we all thought that they could when they traded for Rodgers. Forget about the record, though. Do you think that he has added to the culture or weakened to the culture, whatever the heck that culture is in the building? Has it gotten worse or better since he showed up?
I'm a little taken back that you're asking that, because do you think it's gotten better? Like,
No, but I'm not on the inside. No, I don't. Listen, I've got 4 hours every day to talk about this. I'm very curious. No, I don't.
And by the way, I listen to you guys all the time. I love you guys.
Yeah, no, I got you. I don't, Diana. I don't. I don't think he's.
I don't mean to be aloof there. It's more, no, this has not worked. This is not what the Jets signed up for. This is not what Aaron Rodgers has signed up for. The relationship between ownership and the quarterback is not great. He gets along with Christopher Johnson. That relationship is great. It is not good between Woody and Aaron. It's fine. It's had its ups and downs, more downs than up.
Mm-hmm.
Woody wants a better Aaron Rodgers. He wants the MVP caliber type. That's not what he was getting. Rodgers has had strong opinions about things. Woody doesn't always agree. Rodgers doesn't agree with a lot of things that Woody's doing. You know, as much as we're reflecting on some of the ownership issues here, these are things, the sentiments that the players feel as well about how this organization is run. And Aaron Rodgers certainly has a lot of opinions, and he has shared this publicly. I think he's been letting it out a little bit week by week, whether it's on Pat's show or even in his press conferences, that he doesn't have tons of respect for the way the Jets operation has been run. I don't think that's a secret. So how can you expect a quarterback to come in here and set this incredible identity that he was promised, or at least those that were hopeful that he would bring, when he was never even set up to win?
Yeah. That's the problem. To me, it's been everybody else but Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying Rodgers has been great.
It's everybody. No, it's him too. Yeah, it's everybody.
Well, I'm not saying he's been great, but to me, he's not the problem. He's the one winner. The guy's won four MVPs. He's won a Super Bowl before. He's trying to change things. He comes in here, and it's just, as you said, Diana, yourself, he wasn't set up to succeed. On that, I did want to ask you just to clarify, what happened after the Denver game? Did Woody want to bench Rodgers? Was it a joke? Because there was a couple of different things about that one specific situation.
Yeah, the Jets went on the record with us to tell us that was a joke. That was in jest is the term that they used, right? As like, hey, I just want to be provocative here and see what the reaction could be in the room. Hmm. I don't know what's funny about that.
No, yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying that. I mean, I respect that the Jets said that on the record to you. I respect that part of it, but I think they're covering up. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. It's not funny.
It's not funny. There's no joke in there. You don't joke about benching a Hall of Fame quarterback that has won MVP four times to just say it, to just get a reaction. But those that are that know Woody, and I've been told numerous stories over the years about him, that this is his personality. He likes to push. He likes to just get reaction from people to see who's got the guts, who's got the courage to do things and speak up. But I think the most important part of that story is, it's not so much how you take it, with how the a Jet spokesperson takes it, how I take it. It's how the room filled with people that are coaching Aaron Rodgers and making these decisions take it. And none of them took it as in jest. None of them took it as a joke. They took it as, this is something the guy that owns the team that signs their check has made a suggestion. So this is something that we need to consider, and this is not a good idea. So I do think a lot of people are falling into the trap of, well, he was just joking. Let me know what's funny about it. And we can all agree.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the punchline.
Right, that's what they said, but obviously do the math. Come on. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, listen.
I know, and I feel for Jets fans, because I do think that there was a point, guys, because I've talked to you guys before, where this thing was on the right track, it felt like. This thing was cruising, and it just... It all just fell apart, and just like any other losing team, by the way, this isn't just specific to the New York Jets. When you're losing, this stuff all comes to light.
Yeah.
If Robert Saleh is still the head coach, if they've got a winning record right now, and things are moving into the postseason direction, I'm not sure if this stuff gets uncovered.
No. Diana, at the end of the day, listen, really appreciate your time, Diana Rossini, BT and Sal. I mean, you could go to any franchise that's had sustained failure rather than what we're all chasing, sustained success, and do an investigative piece and collaborate with two or three other peers and do a deep dive and be well-sourced. And it's not going to be pretty below the surface anywhere, whether it's the Browns or maybe the Jaguars right now, or the Knicks back in the day with Isaiah and James Dolan. And so it is what it is. I don't know that we should be surprised about this, but I was still, even me, who has been almost callous to the point where, I won't say it doesn't bother me, but I'm never stunned anymore with the Jets' failures. This even went a layer below I thought was possible. It's almost like this was written up and it's a parody account. Like, this can't possibly be real. But it is.
I know. It's funny, the reaction, it's not funny, but the reaction around the league has been, it has surprised me. A lot of people are like, wow, I've heard this before. And, people from other teams, like even we published this morning around 5 a.m. and I was getting texts by 7 a.m. on West Coast from teams out there. Like, wow, oh my goodness, I heard it was bad. I didn't think it was this bad. And look, everyone likes to watch the car wreck. There's problems like this in the other New York organization. So it's not like anyone.
Like this?
It's not as Madden driven, but they've got their own set of problems.
Yeah, they're still playing Tecmo Bowl.
That was a good one, BT.
That is funny, because there's a lot of reasons why you said that makes it very funny. But look, both teams are losing right now. Both teams are in a hard place. There's not a lot of answers for the future. All I know for the Jets, they've got to nail this GM head coaching search. And I know for a fact that they are trying hard right now in making sure that they're going to be able to be as honest and open with these candidates about what they want accomplished here in New York. Because, after a story like this, they're going to have to answer a lot of questions.
Thank you, Diana. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Diana Rossini of The Athletic, of course. Zach Rosenblatt, Mike Silver also contributing to that latest scathing column about Woody Johnson. And she's, I love what she said there, BT, because this is stuff that we have heard behind the scenes for years. She heard it, I'm sure, herself, and others are like, hey, let's go report on this. Mm-hmm. And there you go, get together. And now it's another report that paints Woody in, I don't think a bad light, I think it paints him in who he is light. This is what's going on with the Jets.
Yeah, but the thing about Woody is I think the... For a while, the impression was, yeah, he's docile, you know, he's Woody, you know, he's just kind of, because he's not some big physically imposing figure, but he seems to be a tyrant behind closed doors. And I didn't really think it was quite like that until a couple of years ago. But, you know, listen, this has been a 6-month investigation. Right. So you do this kind of a deep dive on a franchise, you better connect the dots and be right. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm taking one side or the other, but, I mean, how do you refute what's been reported? But they've been a mess forever.
You can't. But she did say, and this to me would mean a lot, especially coming from her, who's done the bulk of the reporting on this stuff, that she thinks Woody's going
to
change.
Ready to change, yeah. I mean, that's about time. He's almost 80.
I'm just.
I mean, come on, hey, man.
Better late than never. Yeah.
So on Saturday afternoon, a report came out from Diana Rossini that Bill Belichick reached out to the New York Jets. And I hear this story, and I'm driving around.
You believe it?
And I'm skeptical. That's correct. Yeah, you're right. Do I believe it? I'm very, very skeptical. And so I hear Chris McMonagle on WFAN, the Jets are a bunch of idiots, can you believe it? Then I hear my boy Tommy Lugauer saying, the Jets are smart, they don't need this guy. So I had the two extreme opinions, and I thought both of them did a great job, by the way. So good job, Lugie, good job, Big Mac. Then I went to wrestling, had a good night, tried to put it out of my mind. And then late Saturday night, I started to read more. And so for those that missed it, here's the reporting on Bill, and then I'll tell you what the hell actually happened. For months, this is according to Diana, Belichick's inner circle quietly conducted informal conversations with a few teams testing the waters. A very small circle of people in the Jets building were made aware of his interest, though I was told no meeting or formal conversation ever happened because the UNC opportunity popped up. So in the end, none of the talks with the Jets or any other NFL team turned into anything serious. Albert Breer added to the report, saying on Sunday that Bill Belichick reached out to Mike Tannenbaum to express interest in the Jets' job. The Jets mulled it, worked to set up a Belichick-Woody Johnson conversation, but then things at UNC accelerated. So a couple of things I want to get out of the way. The idea, and this is what Big Mac said on Saturday, I don't mean to just attack him because it was breaking news. The idea that the Jets told Bill Belichick to take a short walk off a long pier, I got it backwards, a long walk off a short pier is not backed up by the reporting.
Right.
The reporting is saying the Jets were working together on some kind of meeting, but then the UNC thing popped up. So the notion that the Jets said no seems to be a falsitude that's been spread like wildfire over the last 2 days.
Right, but what's the point of it, though, from a Bill Belichick standpoint and from a Jets standpoint? Like, having this out there does what?
Okay, here's my conspiracy theory, because I've given this a lot of thought. Because, again, I want to just dispute this notion that the Jets did something wrong. Because they didn't say no to Bill Belichick. That's not what the reporting says. Now, if a new report comes out that says the Jets told him to go scratch, as Tommy likes to say, then fine. But that's not the reporting is the UNC job popped up. And if Bill was serious about the Jet job or any other NFL job, it would have behooved him to, I don't know, wait.
Right.
Because no one's hiring their new head coach in the middle of December. Plus, there are going to be more openings.
Well, you can't hire your new head coach in the middle of
right,
December
good
because
point.
Of the Rooney Rule and the process that the NFL requires teams to go through.
Right. So Bill
right.
expressing interest in any job, including the Jets, you got to wait, Bill. So I think he just wanted the UNC job and he took it. Or maybe the tea leaves told him he's not getting any of these jobs. But now it comes down to what the hell was going on. Bill Belichick is a vindictive douche.
Yeah.
Can we just get that out of the way?
And he dislikes the New York Jets.
Oh, he dislikes the New York Jets.
Which is why when I first heard this, I said, there's no way this is true.
Because it's kind of not. Does anybody in their right mind think Bill Belichick was going to work for Woody Johnson? Raise your hand if you believe it.
No.
You're raising your hand?
Really?
I do believe he would have.
Why? I do believe, yes.
Because of the power of chasing Don Shula's record and nobody else hiring him. Okay. I think he would put everything aside to do that.
Fair enough. But you clearly see that that's a flawed argument, right?
Because he didn't wait, because he took a college job.
Because he's in college now.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree, but I don't think the Jets were the only call he made either.
Right, but again, hold on.
Other teams, I wouldn't be surprised on.
But the Jets, again, based on the current reporting, not things we want to make up in our head, the Jets did not say no, according to Diana Russini and Albert Breer. They were working to schedule a meeting, and then Bill moved on to University of North Carolina. So, again, if your theory is true that he would have coached even for the Jets to chase Don Shula, why didn't he wait? Maybe for even a meeting with Woody.
I will tell you why. I think Bill Belichick is a major egomaniac that believes he was extremely offended last year by the Falcons saying no to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that the Jets didn't say yes right then and there and said, let's schedule a meeting with you, turned him off. And I think Bill Belichick's worst fear after that is, I'm not going to be embarrassed by the Jets telling me.
But to Tiki's point, he couldn't take the job.
Right. So, it's not like they could say, yes, we're going to hire you. No, they could, but they'd get in trouble with the league.
Right.
Because of the Rooney Rule rules.
Yeah.
But I think more of what likely happened, if I am to believe that him or his people reached out to whoever, intermediary or directly to the Jets, is that he got a maybe. And the maybe sounds a whole lot like what happened this past hiring cycle.
Right. So his tea leaves he was reading was, this isn't
going to
happen.
Yes. No, people are not going to be that interested in my services.
Now, I disagree friendly with both you, Tommy, and Sean, that Bill was ever going to take the Jet job, because I don't think you understand Bill Belichick. I do. He's kicked my ass for 2 decades.
No,
he's a vindictive, run-up-the-score, hateful human being. Right. He hates the New York Jets.
So, who else does he hate?
What was that?
Who else does he hate now?
He hates
Robert
the Jets.
Kraft.
Nah.
This is a way to stick it to Robert and the Patriots by bringing the Jets a Super Bowl.
Fan fiction, but okay. That's fine. Maybe that'll come out in a book someday. He hates the Jets. You're surmising he hates Robert Kraft. I know he hates the Jets.
I think, Lugie, he hated how it ended.
Yeah.
But I don't think he dislikes Robert Kraft.
No,
Kraft siding with Brady, though, is more what I'm bringing.
He doesn't. There's no evidence of it, though. There's evidence of him hating Woody Johnson. He takes shots at him every other day. So now it comes down to, well, why did he reach out to the New York Jets? Because he's a sick individual who wanted the power of Woody Johnson begging him to take the Jet job. Mm-hmm. He sees the Jets as a weak, pathetic franchise and thought to himself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call him up. I'll say, yeah, I'm interested in the job. I'm going to get that meeting with Woody, who he has no respect for. He does not respect Woody Johnson at all. Not disagreeing with him, because I don't exactly love Woody Johnson, but Bill does. Bill would spit on him. Like, that's how little respect he has for Woody Johnson. He takes shots at him every other day. And I think he wanted that sick, twisted power grab of Woody Johnson being in a meeting, saying, would you work for me, Bill? And that's what his motivation was. Now, as a Jet fan, I'm open to any meeting. So if you want to tell me, you know what, take the meeting, just don't grovel for him, I got no problem with that. So for any Jet fan who says, hey, I don't want Bill, I explained on Friday why I didn't want Bill. So I don't want Bill Belichick coaching my team. I stand by everything I said. But would I take an interview? Yeah, I mean, interview doesn't hurt. But I see what he was doing. He hates the Jets. He's hated the Jets for 25 years. He's hated the Jets since he scribbled a little note on the napkin. He's a vindictive, angry man. And so what he did was a perverted power play. He wanted Woody to beg. I wouldn't have been surprised if he's like, beg like a dog now. Bark for me, Woody. That's what he did. And so the Jets, I think, shocked by this, were like, all right, let me see. You know, we'll schedule a meeting. There's no rush. Like, we're talking to John Robinson next week. Yeah. Louis Riddick is coming in. Okay, why not? We'll schedule a meeting. And then Bill, realizing, all right, I'm going to go to UNC. I'm probably not getting an NFL job. I don't need Woody to beg for me. I'm not going to work there. I'm never going to work there. I'm never taking that job. I'll never work for that loser. That's his mind. And that's what happened. Bill Belichick, I'm sorry. I'm not forgetting 25 years. Y'all can if you want.
Yeah. No, look,
that's not what happened. He hates this team. He hates this owner. And he wanted the power of making a billionaire beg for him.
Right. I think he also wanted certainty. And certainty in the interest. And why I'm not going to waste my time, because if I'm going to take this college job, which kind of popped up out of nowhere,
he's got to get full in on college. He's never coached in college. I know that he's saying now that it was a dream job because his dad coached there at some point, and he always wanted to coach in college, but he got too good in the NFL and yada, yada, yada and whatnot. But if you're going to go from the NFL to college, it's like learning another language and learning the protocols and the NIL, you know, situations that your team is currently in and who's transferring out, who's transferring. Like, all of that stuff is a massive learning curve for
right.
anybody.
Right.
And so if he was going to take the UNC job, he needed to commit to it now. He couldn't wait until January or whenever the NFL hiring cycle starts. It's after the Super Bowl. So he couldn't wait that long. So with the UNC opportunity, it was do it now or you're it's not going to be there anymore.
Right, right. And he also knows a year from now, based on the way way the buyout is scheduled on the North Carolina deal, he can get a head coaching job a year from now if a team is interested. And as far as if teams are going to be interested, I think there's a lukewarm interest towards Bill. I do agree with that. But I am sorry.
I can't see teams being interested next year.
But you're probably right. There's a good chance he never coaches in the NFL ever again. But the one thing I'm not going to believe, based on a little nugget of a story, is that Bill Belichick was ever going to work for Woody Johnson.
It was never
going to happen.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. I'm sorry. And so the only thing I could come up with is this whole, all right, beg for me. Do you buy my conspiracy theory?
Probably not. I don't think anybody's that vindictive.
Oh.
But it sounded good coming out.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Nobody's that vindictive. This guy would run up scores on the Jets. He hates the Jets.
So what better way to own the Jets than be the one that turns him around?
Nah, you needed me. He was never working for Woody. Think about it this way. If you don't believe in the owner, the way he's talked about it, the way he walked away from the Jets years ago, and the way he's talked about him since then, even if Woody gave you a promise, I'm going to stay out of the way, it's all yours. When you have that little respect for somebody, you still in the back of your mind say, I'm not working for you. Because think about what he said about Woody, how quickly he is to fire people.
Right.
You think he wants the humiliation of being fired by Woody Johnson? There's no way that would have happened. I don't believe it for a second. And that doesn't mean Diana's reporting is wrong. I believe everything she reported happened. There was a reach out. There was a, hey, let's schedule a meeting. But I'm trying to get into the brain of that man. And that's exactly what happened.
So you're starting to see some more names that are being contacted by the Jets for their general manager position. Of course, they're going to deal with that first before the coach, and we had talked about John Robinson of the formerly of the Tennessee Titans, who had that team, you know, in a position to compete, but then all of a sudden things fell apart quickly when he traded A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was fired soon after that, after I believe it was a game where A.J. either came back to Tennessee or the Titans were playing the Eagles and Philadelphia and A.J. Brown went off, and it was like that night John Robinson ended up getting fired. But a couple other names, Lewis Riddick, who has been attached to a lot of jobs, a ESPN employee who has worked in front offices, and he was calling a game last night, actually. He was a part of that broadcast for the Falcons and Raiders game. And Thomas Dimitroff, who was with the Falcons for many years and was the general manager for the team that went to the Super Bowl and then blew that lead against the New England Patriots. And unfortunately, that's going to follow him around and Dan Quinn around when you're trying to describe their careers.
Yeah, but you know what? They were really successful there. They got Matt Ryan.
Yeah, he drafted Matt Ryan. Yeah.
And when you draft a quality NFL quarterback that is a game-changing quarterback, you can build the team around him, and that's what Dimitroff did.
Yeah. And
they had a good coaching staff, too, under him.
I think that at first they had Mike Smith there, and then they ended up going with Dan Quinn after that. And
Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was. Yep.
He knows what he's doing. He's a quality NFL executive, is how I would describe him. I wouldn't say personality plus, no, but I don't necessarily know that you need personality plus at that position because, you know, they're not guys that are out there, you know, looking for in other words, GM doesn't have to be personality.
No,
he just has to know the right coach to hire if he's involved in that process.
Absolutely, and not be afraid to hire someone who's got a little bit of gravitas, and as opposed to going for some coach that you could control in some way, it's his first time job or first time head coach or whatever it may be. Al believes that Thomas Dimitroff can work in New York because of his look.
That's what he said this morning on the warm-up show, that he's got a cool old guy look. And because of that, he thinks he'll be able to slide right in to New York here and have success.
Yeah, older guy, still looks cool. Like late 50s, but kind of cool looking. And nice hair, full head of hair, very important for a GM.
Glasses, fashionable glasses and frames.
Nice fitting suit. Like yes. He looks good in the suit. It's not like big and bulky on him.
That is true. Nicely tailored suit, in shape. So that's what Al looks for in a general manager, someone who looks cool enough.
So the initial press conference with him would go over well, you believe?
Yeah, oh, 100%.
I actually agree with that because the Jets need people who look like they know what they're doing right off the bat. Now, it doesn't really mean anything in the long run, but I mean, if you, we reference it probably too much, but the Adam Gase press conference was the biggest Jets thing of all time. I mean, it just was. And you had Christopher Johnson out there extolling the virtues of Adam Gase, and then Adam Gase up there bugging out, having some sort of reaction to whatever was going on.
It looked like an Adderall thing for me.
Yeah, you know, or
that's,
something.
That's usually what that is all about.
Ooh, tacos. Yeah, I mean, that was so strange. But anyway, so he's a guy that I you could do worse than hiring him. Now, I mean, I'm still worried about the coach more than I am the general manager, to be honest with you. But
right. He was the director of college scouting at the beginning of the whole Brady-Belichick thing for New England.
All right, so that's how he ended up getting hired, because he was plucked off of that deal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most of those guys that were in that front office at that time, Nick Caserio's one of those, running the Houston Texans now. They all ended up getting jobs. Scott Pioli ended up getting a job. You know, they all end up somewhere, going somewhere else and being the man. Didn't always work out, but for Dimitroff, at least it did work out initially with the Falcons.
Yeah, I'd like to go through his first round draft picks. Dimitroff, see how long he was there, and see how he did. Because, I mean, that stuff, obviously, in the scouting and that stuff matters. Matters in a big way.
Well, he was with the Falcons for 11 years as their general manager. That's a long run.
Yeah. There's actually there is a website that will take you through every single one of his draft picks over 11 years with pictures and commentary. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, he was actually a part of the first two Super Bowls with the Patriots.
Oh, okay. So he's seen some winning?
Yeah, definitely.
He's seen some Patriots.
He's been around. Look, if you come off of that staff, you're around football. You are football. You eat, sleep, and drink football. That's what that staff was.
Now, when was he done there?
In Atlanta? 2020.
All right, so he has not gotten a sniff in 4 years?
No, he has not. Who knows? Who knows why? It could be, you know, you never know.
Too slick looking for certain places.
Well, he also maybe wanted to take a couple years off, too. Who knows?
Nah, these guys don't want to take a couple years off. These guys want to get back in. You tell me this all the time. It's their life. It's ball. They don't want to take a couple years off.
And this guy is that. I will say that. He is that. There's no question about it. And he obviously wants back in, and there'll be opportunities for him to go back in. You know, the interesting thing for the Jets will be, are they going to hire a tandem situation like the Giants did?
Tandem?
Or are they going to hire the GM, bring him in, give him, you know, the press conference and everything else, and then select the coach?
So did this group that they put together, the 33rd team, were they selected just to identify general manager candidates or also coach candidates?
I would think probably both.
Yeah.
And I would think that they're working off of a list that the NFL puts together for them to make sure that, you know, if there are certain guys out there that are not getting a look, that they realize that these are people that you have to interview.
It's a process.
Yeah, it is a process. And they have to go through all the minority candidates that the NFL has on the list.
That is correct. Now, I mean, I think that the right way to do things is to identify that general manager, hire that general manager.
I'm with you.
And then have that general manager pick
the coach. Be a part of that process, yes.
But I mean, I don't need 50 other guys if I'm the GM helping pick out the coach. Like, if I'm the GM and I'm the guy running the show here, you let me pick the coach. I don't need Mike Tannenbaum and whoever else, Rick Spielman and Woody Johnson be a part of this. You hired me to do the job. I was afraid to come here because of the stuff I was reading and what you were doing to Joe Douglas. So first things first, if I come in here, you hire me, I'm hiring the coach.
So you say that, you're not getting hired. So thanks. I mean, you got, you know, there are some things that you have to, if you really want the job, and obviously you don't interview unless you really want the job. I mean, you got to be forceful in how confident you are in yourself, for sure. But you also have to be mindful of what you're trying to do and trying to get the job. And there may be certain things that we don't see on the outside that on the inside you have to accept.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, if they're going to operate things where I'm not going to have control and then the owner is going to be all in my business and doing things and overriding me, then I don't want the job.
I'm with you. I'm old school in the fact that I want the general manager to hire the coach, or at least be a part of the process of hiring that coach, because those personalities have got to work.
The process.
They got to work together, man. And, you know, when you start losing, you know, the animal instincts of the man come to the forefront, and everybody is basically stabbing each other in the back, and it's his fault, it's their fault, he didn't get me the players, he couldn't coach the players, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The insecurities are just incredible. Well,
that's a chicken or the egg thing. I mean, the reason why the insecurities are that way is because that's the way the business is.
I know. I mean, and that's, you know, look, they're getting really well paid, and when they do end up getting fired, they end up getting, you know, keeping their contracts.
Yeah.
But I would like to have the GM in place and have him hire the coach to make sure that he and the coach, you know, obviously know each other, they respect each other, and somehow they can get through it. I mean, say what you want about Shane and Dable. They know each other. I don't see a rift in it at all. I see, even behind the scenes when we saw, you know,
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, you saw at least a working relationship where they genuinely like each other and they look like they were working together.
Yeah, they do. I mean, in any time that we've been around them, same thing. I mean, even when we did that game, the Eagles game, for Compass Media Networks. I was on the Giants sideline before the game, and those guys were talking to each other like they were best friends. You know, I mean, it's just they work well together as far as relationship-wise. Well, now, the results have been terrible.
But I know, but if they stay here, it's going to be because of that relationship. It's going to be because they're solid and not because they're, you know, throwing each other under the bus to the owner.
An alliance that they have together.
I hope that's the case. I really do.
Yeah, I'd be curious to find out, like, through your NFL insider contacts that you have, why Thomas Dimitroff has not gotten a job in the last 4 years. And has he interviewed a lot? Like, this was a guy who, as you mentioned, was there for 11 years in Atlanta. They had a lot of success. Drafted well. If you think Matt Ryan's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but drafted a guy who was an MVP at the very least.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he should have gotten a look somewhere else. There's got to be something going on.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
And if he's interviewing for the Jets, that means that he wants to get back in.
I mean, there could be all sorts of things. There could be personal issues. There could be anything. Maybe he was going through something. You never know.
Yeah, I know. That's why I would like to know, because it would be, on paper, you could do a hell of a lot worse. Like, if the Jets hired him, I wouldn't have as much criticism as for other guys. I would say, like, this guy knows what he's doing.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. So BT caught up in the, you know, Belichick stuff, obviously, over the course of the weekend. Jets did play a game yesterday. We referenced it. Rodgers looked good. Devontae Adams turning back the clock. And you could tell that Rodgers, I felt good for him and Adams because they were having fun during that one.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, like, it's typical and predictable, the Jets win that game and cost themselves a pick. You're more into the tanking than I am. Where were you as far as the Jets winning that game yesterday? Did it bother you? Were you happy to see Rodgers and Adams? Where'd you sit on that?
I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed it. I did. And you know where I stand.
Yeah,
you just said it.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to a draft slot, I prefer to lose when I get to the stage of the season. But, you know, it's been so many empty Sundays and so many empty years, exceeding over a decade, that it's really stripping away the fun to the point where, like, I'm sitting there having a cup of coffee, and I don't drink coffee during the day. I'm having a cup of coffee just to stay awake to watch football, man. Like, and I did the pod after, yeah, right? The Unkillable pod. You guys can go check it out and see what it's all about. About 13, 14 episodes there so far, right? And I said, you know, most people, you'll be able to relate to this, most people who view what we do for a living. They don't incorporate the pressure, the cutthroat nature of the business.
The work.
Well, of course. The work, what it takes to get here, the sacrifice. Right. And I'm not, trust me, it's a great job. I'm not looking for pity. But there are things that you and I deal with from a business perspective that can strip away the pureness of it over time. I mean, it's just the reality of it.
Truthfully, I miss some of that.
So do I. And, you know, even with that being said, it shouldn't be like absolute work to watch a football game. And that's what it seems like it's been for so long. So I think I just kind of suspended the reality of where they've been and where they are currently. And I enjoyed it. That 71-yard pass to Devontae Adams was absolutely gorgeous. It was fun.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point in general. Like, too many times now in today's day and age as sports fans, we aren't acting like true fans. I'm not talking about you and I. I'm talking about us in general, everybody. Whether we talk about, well, I don't want Soto because of the contract, or, oh, tank for this and that. Like, we're getting away from just enjoying being a fan, which to me is ridiculous on so many levels. That being said, it's typical Jets to win a game that you know is going to end up costing you. And like, it could have been great, and Rodgers looked great, and Adams has a big day, and also maybe you lose the game on a field goal to help you with the pick, because we've seen this happen before. I am not one to root for losses, although I will say with both the Jets and the Giants right now, they're clearly just, like, there's not even a reason. I could sell last year on why the Giants needed to win games down the stretch and why they wanted to be competitive. Right now, there is zero reason for the Giants to win, and even more less of a reason for the Jets to win. Seeing Rodgers play well, I think that maybe could mean something moving forward. Maybe. Who knows? But I don't think that there's a reason to win these games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, from a Giants perspective, I think that with Sanders, who's going to go first overall, all right, that's much more appealing than, and I like Cam Ward. Now I'm talking about from the Jets' perspective. Yeah. And really, if the Giants don't get one and they're thinking about Cam Ward too, I'd be lukewarm on that as well. Like, to me, Sanders is the clear, without any sort of real debate, first overall pick for me, in terms of quarterback for me. So, yes, it behooves the Giants, not that they're trying to lose, but they just think enough where they're going to always lose, because it puts them in a position this year, puts them in a position to have access to the quarterback that I think can change the fortunes of their franchise. Where, like, if the Jets would have lost yesterday, I still don't think they're going to do enough to get number one in terms of losses. Right. So, and getting Cam Ward to me is a big, big question mark anyway. So, if it was different with the upper part of the first round pertaining to the quarterbacks, maybe I would have had a different reaction yesterday. Maybe not.
Would you think, one thing that bothered me yesterday, would you think of Sauce's comments after the
Which
game?
Ones?
Talking about how this is up there, right up there with the draft, and making it like he made some big play.
With the interception?
Dude.
Listen, this is how far, I know. I'm surprised he didn't drop it, first of all. This is how far Soft Gardner has fallen as a rising defensive staple star. I was in Green Bay when they beat Rodgers and the Packers, okay? A couple of years ago, they blocked a punt. It was an amazing day. Think about what happened after the game. Soft Gardner had the cheesehead stuff on.
Yeah.
And I think that made the Jets 7-4, if I have that right. It was obviously a very big win, and it really was putting them in a position to do some real damage. Of course, they didn't. That's where it was. And now you're going to talk about just picking off Mac Jones, who the defense couldn't even contain, from and leaving the pocket, who's as slow as dirt. And Gardner's going to get... I'm not trying to strip away the young man's enjoyment to win. I get it. When you always lose and you win, I want you to enjoy it. But the elevation, I did see that quote, and I'm like, man, this is how far it's fallen for not just him, but for them.
Yeah, just tone deaf. Like, you're right. You don't want to take away somebody's joy or excitement. No. But he made it like, oh, people are doubting me, and then to be able to go out there and make this big play. Like, dude, he basically threw the ball right to you. Mac Jones stinks. The Jaguars stink. You stink. Your team stinks. And you're talking like, oh, this is right up there with the draft. Like, yeah, I mean, look, all right, they won a game. You want to be happy, I guess. Don't take the joy. I thought Sauce went a little much. A little over the top there.
Yeah, a little thick, laying it on.
BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. Mike is in West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Mike 8.
Hey, what's going on, guys? About the Bill Belichick thing, I mean, he was never getting hired. I understand you wanted to bring him in the building and maybe pick his brain a little bit, but how were you expecting to hire a guy that has trashed the owner for 20 years and this year? I mean, it never was going to work. I mean, how could Woody trust him? I mean, he's I understand he's a great coach. He has a legacy. But without Tom Brady, he's I mean, I'm not trying to put him down, mm-hmm. but he's not the same coach without Brady that he was with.
The Jets are an embarrassment of an organization. They can't get out of their own way. You have a chance. The greatest head coach of all time is calling you to talk to him. They should have not only talked to him, they should have hired him. And you think Woody Johnson's going to...
He's embarrassed Woody from when Woody was the owner. He left the team. He's trashed him for how long? That would have been more embarrassing. More embarrassing to hire the guy who's completely pooped on your franchise for two decades.
That's why you use him, Mike. You use him to get some information, and then you throw him out with the trash, if that's the way you want to look at it. But to not, I don't know, tap into a resource that's begging you, granted out of desperation, because I don't think anybody else in the NFL wants him, doesn't mean that you can't extract something from him. And smart people generally know that. You know, and it was... Oh, man. Eagle got in the way. I heard that. I was driving back from a basketball game, and I'm like, I can't start looking at my phone. I'm like, is this real?
I actually didn't believe it.
Is this real? And I called C-Mac. I'm like, I gotta get on the air now. And I just went nuts for about a good 3 minutes. I appreciate Chris letting me jump in. And it was never about...
Now you got to return the favor. When C-Mac hears something, he's like on...
Phone's busy. Nah, I'm just kidding. See, I love Chris, you know. But midday's about that. Yeah, right. And I really couldn't believe it because, you know, when you heard the people who were in the middle of the reporting, I mean, Russini and Hughes and Costello, I mean, Russini more on the national scene, the other two incredibly reputable and trusting, not always right, nobody is, but those guys are great. I'm like, this is real. And I'm not saying you offer them the job on the spot, but it's amazing to me that they wouldn't even have the sense to have a conversation. It's just embarrassing, dude.
Yeah, but think about this, too. Like, and I know it's different, maybe you're talking about business, but Jet fans rip the Jets, the owner, fire this, sell the team, this and that. And yet Woody's out there taking pictures with everybody and letting them in the stands. Mm. And so what? Woody's got to be above. Oh, no, this is where he draws the line. This guy's been making fun of me. He's coming to you. Hat in hand, Bill Belichick reached out to you, the Jets. At that point, you're going to be like, whoa, Bill Belichick actually wants to be here. He must see something that he thinks he could turn this around, or he's looking for an opportunity. You know what? The smart person would say, let me check my ego here and see what he has to say and maybe give him this opportunity with something to prove. I can't get a higher right if my life depended on it. Mm. You're going to thumb your nose at Bill Belichick? Oh, my God. The idiocy of that is just mind-boggling. The Jets will get everything that they deserve with actions like that. Like, they don't deserve to win when you do stupid things like that as an organization.
Well, and now listen, if you tell me that, and it just hasn't been, I don't think that this is the case because the Jets very rarely operate this way, but if you tell me they've got Vrabel on lockdown, okay, that's great. And if we learn of that, then I'll take back what I said about their lack of willingness to at least meet with Belichick. And by the way, if it's clearly an Eagle thing, because I understand on some level, just a human level, you know, somebody's just eviscerated me on the field for two decades and also taking little shots with the Manning brother, whatever you can get. Okay, I'm not saying I roll out the red carpet and I hire the man tomorrow, but what I do is maybe I neuter him up front. I say, all right, Bill, listen, you got no chance. You have no chance to be to be in charge of all the personnel. Do you want to coach the Jets? Do you want to coach this team? If you want to coach the Jets, we can have a conversation. You could join the list of the other 4, 5, 6 candidates we have our eye on. But there's not a chance in hell that you're getting authority on personnel matters. And if Bill Belichick would have had an issue with that, then there's the door.
Right.
But at least let him know the new rules here, and it's my team, and I'm in charge. If you want to come begging on your hands and knees to coach, hey, you're a great coach. Well, listen, the other stuff, you didn't do a good job with that. Not interested.
Right, but think about what you're saying. That's from a perspective of Woody Johnson and Jets ownership and front office who couldn't get anything right to save their life.
But, so like, both things could be true.
They should have been on their hands and knees begging Belichick to come in their building.
No, I disagree with that. No. It provided the...
BT, they're a joke. Like,
nobody's disputing that. We all know that.
Then why wouldn't they get on their hands and knees and beg this guy to at least come in? Like, you can get on the Falcons for making a bad hire or not with Raheem Morris over Belichick.
Yep.
They talked to him. They had him in. Like,
and why did they say no? Why did they say no?
Apparently, they didn't like what they heard from Bill Belichick.
No, because
the Jets didn't even entertain it.
No, no.
You morons, how can you not entertain it? Like,
but why didn't the Falcons really, truly hire him? It's because he wanted full authority on all personnel matters. Now, there's multiple conversations.
Maybe he should have gotten it.
No, I don't think he's earned. That's where I'll back the Jets on this. He has not earned the right. He's not demonstrated the aptitude to build the roster. He's a great coach. He's a great motivator.
Well, who are they going to bring in that hat?
I don't know. But you have a comp. That's why at least this is my only premise. Yeah. Have the conversation. You know, the three or four guys, Robinson, whomever else you think might be a general manager candidate, you throw them by Belichick. Bill, could you work with this guy? No. All right, well, then we have a problem. Bill, could you work with this guy? Maybe. Bill, how about this guy? All right, I'm open to it. And if he's not open to just being the coach, then get the hell out of my building. But have the conversation.
BT itself. Yeah, Rodgers and Belichick have no more leverage as far as that goes. You want the job or not, but yeah, you got to have him in. My God.
But the reason I don't like Lamar's name coming up in this discussion is it was not real. Yeah. It was not a real thing. The real guys to talk about are Derek Carr, okay? Or drafting another young quarterback. Were the options.
No, the option, and we all missed it, it was Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
He was the option.
That's fair. That's a fair one, yeah.
Right? Because his last year in Cleveland, he had a bum shoulder. He played through it. He got a bad rap because they were a bad team. It is what it is. And he ends up in Carolina in that dumpster fire. Then he goes out to the Rams after they win a Super Bowl and they're compromised and they need someone to just to be the guy for a couple of games. He plays after less than a week at practice. Actually plays pretty well. And then he ends up in Tampa. And so it's like...
You're right. That would have been the guy.
He was the guy. But yeah. We were kind of fooled to think he was washed because of that last sequence in Cleveland the Rams.
There wasn't enough evidence from what happened briefly in L.A. and Carolina and the end of Cleveland to think he'd be the answer.
Right.
But at 28 years old, you're right. You're right that looking back on it, that would have been the way to go. But his name wasn't even mentioned that much.
Nobody even thought about it. Everybody thought he was done.
You know who mentioned him? I do have to give credit to one guy.
Who's that?
Joe. Joe had mentioned Baker Mayfield.
Really?
Yeah. What about Baker? I think his first option was Rodgers. I think most of us was, but Baker was certainly at least a guy he mentioned.
And the one thing about, so there's a couple of guys, and this is a separate conversation, but Josh Allen is the dude, tight with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The black guys, the white guys, the guys from the hood, the guys from the money, whatever. He's tight with everybody. Lamar Jackson, exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, less of a talent from a quarterback position, exactly the same way. Like, and this is to the point of our last caller. Those guys come into your locker room, everybody comes together.
Right.
Right? Everybody is one. And it's obvious. Like, when you go to, because I can now go to the practices, you go to these, you see it, you feel it, right? You feel this energy that's binding these teams. And certain teams can do it without the quarterback. Sometimes it's like a linebacker or whatever player it may be. But if it's the quarterback, it's special. And the Ravens have that. That's why they're so consistently good. The Bills have that. That's why they're consistently good. Tampa is starting to get that because of Baker Mayfield. Like, look for that.
Yeah, you know who also had that too? I'm not even joking, but it's kind of funny when I say the name, but he totally had that. It was Mike White. Which is why T-shirts were made for him.
Right.
Everybody loved him.
Yeah. No, so you're right.
He had the bond, too.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
All the guys.
That's right.
The problem was he wasn't good. He wasn't good enough.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, and
you're right. He just wasn't good enough.
Right. You need both. You need to also be sort of good,
yes.
You know? Let's go to Paul calling from Brooklyn. Good afternoon today, Paul.
Hello there, gentlemen.
What's up?
I'm a huge fan of your show.
Appreciate it.
Long-time listener. 47-year Jet fan. I'm 57 years old. I've been a fan for 10 years. I look at it like Joe. Who's best for the team next year? Who's going to give us the best shot to win next year? Now, I think the whole conversation is premature because, you know, the Rams have a big game coming up against the Jets, and we would like to see how Rodgers does. I think they're finally getting together, Rodgers right. and Garrett Wilson and this offense. They're finally getting together, and they're finally getting healthy. And if they show something in these last three games,
yeah.
then I would feel a little more different.
Paul, I totally
understand what you're saying about the cap hit.
I totally get what you're saying because I think that's what's mm-hmm. happening to most people, that they are looking at what's happening on the field. You even refer to it, how Aaron looks, and says, hey, why can't this be the case next year? I'm trying to not pay too much. I'm not paying too much attention. I'm going to watch it, but not have my opinion based on that.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers can be good next year. It could happen. Sure. He's showing you that. He's always had that with better coaching.
And now he's healthy.
With health, with chemistry that he was still developing earlier this season. But it's bigger picture than that. Because in the short term, there's no debate. The New York Jets have a chance in 2025 if they have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And assuming they bring in a veteran head coach who gets and does a better job than the crap we've watched over the last decade plus. But it's more than that. It's the big picture. And I think if you're a younger Jet fan, I would guess it's a divide. Because I think the older Jet fan, our last caller is 57 years old. I don't know if that's even old, but old-ish, I guess, would say, hey, I want the guy that gives me the best chance to win. And I think we'd all agree it's Aaron Rodgers. But if you're looking big picture at, I want to build a roster, I want sustained success, I also want to find my long-term answer at quarterback, then bringing him back and having that cap hit eventually hit you a year or two down the road, like, it doesn't give you the best chance to win long-term.
Yeah. I think when you start looking at the free agents, so the question that last caller just asked us or asked me directly, there's a couple that make sense, and Sam Darnold is not one of them because Sam Darnold's going to make $40 million next year.
Yeah, there's two reasons why Sam Darnold will not be a Jet. It's not worth a discussion. Number one, you mentioned the money.
Yep.
They're not going to have the money capabilities of doing that, especially if they have a dead money hit on Aaron Rodgers. And number two, if I could get into Sam Darnold's head, there's no way in hell he would come back here.
Yes.
You could change the coach.
Right.
You could change the GM. That man would never go back to the place that almost killed his NFL career.
And then there's a bunch of other names out there like Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Tyler Heineke, Jared Stidham that aren't interesting. The only other player that has a little bit of interest, and it's because of his age, is Justin Fields.
Yes. I'd agree.
That's the only other guy.
That'd be the only guy.
And after that, I don't want Jameis. He throws an interception in his sleep.
Jameis just got benched, by the way.
Right.
He is not the quarterback of the Browns anymore.
Mac Jones is, I know he's young, and he was a Jet killer when he was a Patriot, but he makes poor decisions, and he's an interception a week type of guy. There's just not a ton of free agent options in 2025.
No, I know.
Would you be interested in Will Levis?
No.
Okay.
Daniel Jones?
No.
I don't think that Will is actually going to come free.
Oh, they're going to hold on to him?
I think, yeah, they're probably looking to draft somebody or bring somebody in, but they're not going to give up fully on him
yet. But think
he's
about,
only in his second year.
No, I get
or
that.
This will be his third year next year.
If they move on from Aaron Rodgers, right, which is, I'm trying to guess, like, what's the likeliest right now? By the way, Connor Hughes will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll ask him again.
What do you mean, the likeliest way?
The likeliest answer on if Rodgers is here or not.
Right.
Like, how does this all end?
Don't forget, there is a no trade in his contract.
So they're not trading him. It would either be cutting him.
So it's either keeping him or cutting him.
Correct. Or he retires, which I do not think is the case.
Well, he's already said he wants to play, so I got to take him at his word.
He's walked that back, though. He says he wants to play, and then he's also said, I got to go think about it at the end.
Four more years.
So he's given a... Aaron Rodgers wants us to watch his every step for 2 months before he decides.
He's just trying to get us to watch that Netflix documentary.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. Yes, you are.
You will.
Well, who's doing it? Me? I'm not doing it.
Over the break, you're not watching.
Somebody's got to do it because we got to talk about it.
Well, that's Sean's job.
No, we don't. We don't have to talk about it.
Lugie, you do it.
I'll watch it.
Good, you watch it.
I said he's misunderstood.
We've talked enough Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. I'm not talking him.
It explains how he becomes the villain.
You know what the reality is? I read, who wrote the book again? I did a show with him. Ian O'Connor. Sorry, Ian. I read his book or listened to his book. I consumed every bit of Aaron Rodgers' podcast two off seasons ago. I've listened to him on McAfee. I'm done. I got my fill. I'm done. I'm going to watch old wrestling and old baseball games during Christmas vacation. I'm not watching Aaron Rodgers talk about his rehab.
You know what you could do on Christmas vacation? Watch Christmas Vacation.
I could do that. That's certainly an option. I may do that too. It's funny. I'm looking at Jet fans' reactions to the poll I put out earlier today. It was like first thing in the morning.
And
it's 55% bring him back, 45% no.
I'm telling you. It's more surprising than you think.
And one guy.
It's simply because of the lack of other options.
I understand. One guy. I got to give him credit, even though he's got a weird Twitter name. I think it's Akiffle or something like that. Yeah. Akiffle literally sends a screenshot of my favorite thing to do now in sports internet, which is to go on StatHead, which is Pro Football Reference, Baseball Reference, and there's like this versus feature. So, for example, I did it a lot with you, which has proven to me you are a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I put Tiki Barber's name in with one of these other running backs, and they give you all the career stats.
Oh, yeah.
And like sometimes it's obvious, right? So I do that a lot. Did it with Alex Bregman versus Pete Alonso last night. So someone sends me a graphic of just this season. Just this season. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. And their numbers are like identical. Yeah. They're like identical.
Yeah, but it's, I mean.
I know. And what does it prove? Numbers don't mean anything. Yeah. One guy's 13-1, the other one's 4-10. But the point that a Kiffle was making was one has a Hall of Fame head coach. The other literally doesn't have a head coach.
Right.
Now, I think it's more than simply that. But my point is not to even say that Rodgers is Mahomes, because he's not, is that the debate is very heated between Jet fans on what they want to do. It's a very mixed bag on you're an idiot if you can't bring him back. You're a moron if you don't want him back. Like, it is a hot debate in the Jet community. And both sides make a lot of sense. Really, it's determining, do you care about the future or do you just care about next year? That's how I frame it.
Right.
I think it is a very, that's how I make it simplistic for people to digest. If it's just about 2025 and you're a season ticket holder or you're old, then it's Aaron Rodgers. If it's, hey, I want to build sustained success, then it's cutting Aaron Rodgers.
You say it's, you keep saying that Aaron Rodgers gives the Jets the best chance to win, but in his last two healthy seasons, he hasn't won.
No, but again, we talked about the other alternatives. Do you think that Tyrod Taylor would give him a better chance to win? I know where this is going. Before he finishes, I know where this is going.
Well,
Tiki,
where
this is going to go to him saying that Jets should sign Tommy DeVito.
That would be a very interesting conundrum for Positive Tommy, who has been fired from the Jets. But I do think that is sort of a match made in heaven if you want to go down that route. But Rodgers won 8 games in his last year with Green Bay. They've won a lot more games with Love at quarterback. They had better head coaching there. He did not win. He's won 4 games this year for the Jets. At some point, you just lose that magic elixir to be a winner.
Who gives it's a them locker the best room. Chance to win next year?
I don't think it's Rodgers. I think
who
it's,
is it? Though?
I think it's Taylor or bringing in a Matt Stafford or someone else. Like,
I can't. First of all, Matthew Stafford's not an option. So you got to eliminate the veteran quarterbacks, because if you take your medicine on Rodgers, okay, which makes a lot of sense, you are not bringing in an expensive quarterback. I don't even think you're bringing in Justin Fields. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I don't think you have the money to do that. So I literally think you're looking at Tyrod Taylor / let's say they draft Carson Beck. Where's he projected to go? Second round, third round?
Yeah.
He could be like the Lamar Jackson, trade into 32 and pick him for the fifth year.
Yeah, but not nearly Lamar Jackson as the player.
No, I meant
but
that.
But you're right, because he's hurt, right?
Or he just got hurt, yeah.
He's got a forearm injury.
So, but that's my answer.
He had a subpar senior year relative to his previous.
But that's my point. Like, they're not going to draft someone in the first round. So your options next year, if you're being realistic about this,
are the second round guys.
Is Tyrod Taylor, Jordan Travis, and potentially a second round, third round pick. So knowing that, Tommy,
Jalen Milroe,
okay? Who gives the Jets the best chance to win in 2025?
I still think a Taylor, where he hands the baton to either Travis or Carson Beck or Milroe, is a better short-term and long-term.
Short-term, they win more games with that?
That's
a tough one,
I do.
Man.
I know, but
I get your knock on Rodgers. Like, I'm not debating that. Like, that's fine. He didn't win this year. He didn't win in great. Like, totally agree. I'm saying in 2025 with this roster, again, taking the veterans out because they're not adding them. That's a fantasy.
I know, but this is for like Joe and like an older Jet fan. What is really the ceiling of Aaron Rodgers when you're in the same conference as Mahomes, Allen? Josh Allen can't even get to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers at 42 is getting the Super Bowl?
That's a fair point.